Good afternoon, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Deism is a heresy that teaches us that after God created the world, he went to sleep and he let the world run on its own like a man wind a clock and let it tick-tock, tick-tock until it stops. Such a heresy does not believe that God has given to us his word. If God has given to us his word, that means God continues to interact with man. On this earth, God has given to man two kinds of revelation. The first kind of revelation, theologians call it general revelation. The second kind, theologians call it special revelation. And these two revelations given by God are clearly delineated and explained to us in Romans chapters 1 and 2, respectively. In Romans chapter 1, we know that the general revelation is God's creation. And God used general revelation, that is his creation, to condemn the world. The world that has not been given the word of God. The Bible says that they are all under condemnation. And the witness of God is through his creation. And the voice of creation is explained further in Psalm 19. It speaks in a language that everyone understands. And the witness never ends. Daytime, you see the hand of God. Nighttime, you continue to hear and see the hand of God. And so the witness is day and night. It transcends language. Everybody understands. And God says, no man will be without excuse. No man can use, I do not know God. God did not give me a witness, and therefore God cannot sentence me to death and to hell. God says, my general revelation, my creation is sufficient to send everyone to hell, and they have no excuse not to be found in hell. General revelation is sufficient to condemn, but not sufficient to save. General revelation cannot be used against those who have the word of God, like the Jews. Because the Jews have the word of God, the two doctrines that we can glean from general revelation, that's creation, is that God exists, and God is powerful. If the Jews were to be condemned by God using general revelation would be insufficient. The Jews will say to God, God, but I believe you exist. I believe that you are a powerful God. And so therefore, God cannot use general revelation to condemn the Jews who have the word of God. Likewise, God cannot use special revelation, that is the word of God, to condemn the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles will argue and say, you did not give us his word. You did not give us your word. How can you use what you did not give us to condemn us, to judge us? That's why Romans 1 and 2 made it very clear. Romans 1, creation, enough to condemn the whole world, but not enough to save. That part of the world that has been given the word of God, general revelation, that's creation, not enough to condemn. Only special revelation, that is God's word, can. And so you find that in Romans chapter 2, the twofold purpose of God's truth is also taught in Romans 2, just as it is taught in Mark chapter 4, verse 10 to verse 13. When God wanted to demonstrate to the Jews that you are all condemned as well, just like the Gentiles, but by a different way, not by general revelation, but by special revelation. God will use the word of God to judge and to condemn the Jews. But at the same time, there were certain Jews who believe in the word of God, because the word of God is enough to condemn, but it is also enough to save. And you'll find this very carefully balanced by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 2. Because he cannot swing to the other extreme by saying that, well, special revelation, God's word, is more than enough to condemn, and he cannot stop there. Because there's the other side of special revelation that can also save. Because if general revelation, like special revelation, is only good enough for condemnation and not good enough for salvation, we are done for. We are finished. No one can be saved on this earth. Jesus Christ cannot save us without his word. Please understand this. The reason is simply this. You do not know who Jesus Christ is without his word. His word explained to us who Jesus Christ is. That's why the name Jesus Christ alone cannot save. It has to be the Jesus Christ according to the scriptures that can save. The Apostle Paul made that abundantly clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When he gave us the details of the elements of the gospel message, he made sure that it is qualified very clearly with the phrase, according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures. That's how important the word of God is. And you and I must understand the twofold purpose of God's truth. Because if you don't, you and I can be in very serious trouble. Our own soul could be jeopardized. Jesus Christ wanted the disciples to understand this too. Very early in Christ's ministry, Mark chapter 4 is a description of the very early period of Christ's ministry. Now, we are not going to talk about the general revelation this afternoon. We're going to focus on special revelation, that is the Word of God. Now, having said that, I need to explain one other thing. Because this seems to be the notion, which I do not believe. It's a biblical notion. And that notion is this. Some of us might think that the laws of God are written in the hearts of unbelievers. It is not. Please understand this. The laws of God is not and cannot be written in the hearts of unbelievers. The laws of God, according to the book of Romans, clearly tells us that it is only written in the hearts of truly born-again believers after salvation. That's why they are given the righteousness of the law. The laws of God are not placed in the hearts of Gentiles who are not born again. The works of the law, the Bible says, that means using the obedience of certain Gentiles who have not been given the law, and then they do the works of the law without the law being given to them. God used that to tell the Jews. The purpose and the reason for God giving us the Bible is for obedience. Holding the Bible in your hand, knowing the Bible in your head, will not give you salvation without obedience. In other words, the Gentiles who do not have the law, but they do the works of the law without the law, they are better off than you Jews who have the word of God and not do the word of God, because the word of God is given for one purpose and one purpose only. Obey. That's it. If it is not obeyed, everything else that you do to the word of God is meaningless. No use. You can tattoo the word of God covering your whole body. You're not born again. You can paste it all over your house and use it as wallpaper, the whole Bible. You're not born again if you don't obey it. Surrounding yourself, memorizing the whole Bible, even in the original languages, will not bring you salvation if it is not obeyed. That was the emphasis of Romans 2, to tell the Jews that the mere fact that you are guardians of God for all these hundreds of years, the fact that you have been possessing the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, but if you don't obey the Word of God, it's no use. Please understand that this is exactly what Jesus Christ is trying to address in Mark chapter 4 as well. Now the first thing we have to note is in verse 10, the intro. When he was alone, that means after he gave this parable, which we have already studied last month. We studied this parable together with the explanation. But the context for this afternoon is, the parable was given without explanation, and these words that we are going to focus on were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ gave this parable, and then Jesus was alone. They were about him with the 12, asked of him the parable. Now, if you look at the parallel account, you'll find that when Jesus Christ gave this parable in the Gospel of Matthew 13, you'll realize that there is a little bit of a difference. Okay, Matthew 13. Many of them didn't bother. Many of them was not interested. Many of them reacted by leaving the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't like what Jesus was doing. They did not mind Jesus Christ teaching them directly, such as the Sermon on the Mount, which was a very direct teaching. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Very clear, direct instruction. They did not mind such thing. Well, they may not obey it, they may not want to listen to it, but at least they understood it. But they enjoy all the miracles of Christ. The miracles of Christ were very different from the miracles of Moses. The miracles of Moses' time was destructive. The miracles of Christ was constructive. You see, these are the two kinds of miracles that you're going to find throughout the scriptures done by God. Either it is destructive, like in the case of Moses, like sometimes when you see the miracles of Elijah and Elisha, the fire was sent from heaven to kill the soldiers who tried to arrest Elijah. It could also be constructive, whereby it heals. Like Elijah and Elisha, they raised a child from the dead. Where Jesus Christ healed, fed the 5,000 with just the lunch of a little boy. Now these are all constructive, positive, miraculous, that will bring blessing. It doesn't bring pain and punishment. The miracles in the last days, the great tribulation, those are the kind that are similar to Moses, where it will bring destruction upon this earth. And that's why the multitude follow Christ, because his miracles were very constructive. It heals. It feeds us. We don't have to do anything. We just follow him, and we do not have to experience physical hunger. All diseases were brought to him, were removed. People who were sick were healed. Why not? But Jesus Christ wanted the people to realize and understand. I'm not here to fill up your stomach. I'm not here to make you feel better from all your running nose, your cold, and your blind eyes, and your lame legs. I'm not here to do all these things, because one day you're still going to die, no matter how healthy you are in the present. And so Jesus Christ wanted them to follow him for the right reason. And so he began to speak in parables. And many of these parables, as you will see, will begin with the kingdom of heaven is this, the kingdom of God is this, the kingdom of heaven is this. So he wanted them to search. He wanted them to find out, to study, to look deep, so that they will now realize that my primary and only goal for following Jesus Christ is to find out how I can enter heaven. Not to follow Jesus Christ in order to fill my stomach, to take away all illnesses and diseases, to make my wallet thicker, to increase my bank account. All these Jesus Christ wanted to correct and rebuke. And so he purposefully spoke in parables, and from now onwards it will be a lot of parables, as you can see from Matthew chapter 13. A lot of parables, a series of them. All right, and so Jesus wanted them to realize and understand how important this time of the giving of the parable was. You look at Matthew 13, where there are a longer passage describing this incident compared to what you find in Mark chapter 4. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Right? The 12 asked of him the parable. Same thing, right? You see that in Mark chapter 4, verse 10. Okay, permit me to read to you Matthew 13, verse 11. And so he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now you see, from this we are told two purposes. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men, referring to the Old Testament saints, have desired to see those things which ye see, that is right now, what you are experiencing with the presence of Christ on earth, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. This is a much longer explanation of what transpired between Christ and the disciples compared to the passage found in Mark 4. But since our focus will be in Mark 4, we'll focus only on Mark 4. But that is for your reference and understanding. That Jesus Christ deliberately did this for the good of the multitude, to cut away any self-delusion, any kind of wrong motive for following Christ, just like today. We live in a world where there is a lot of Christianity being talked about. Most of it are unbiblical, because we're living in the last days. The Christian world may be seen from the world's perspective as being Christian in terms of a very high percentage. Roman Catholicism alone, you have more than 1 billion members. Plus the charismatics, plus the Anglicans, plus everyone that is part of the ecumenical movement, and that will give us maybe another 300-400 million. Add all of them up, the Methodists, the Anglicans, put them all together. And so you have more than 1 billion plus, maybe 1.6, 1.5 billion at least, who are said to be Christians. Out of a population of this world, how many? 6 billion, 6.5 billion? That's a very high percentage. It's nearly about 20%, isn't it? That's a lot. And so some of us might take pride in the fact that Christianity is 20% of the world's population. But you find that within this so-called 20% of Christianity, maybe 1% are truly genuinely born again. The rest are false. This is the world that we're living in. Because many people follow Christ for all the wrong reasons other than the biblical reason. And that's why Jesus Christ wanted to make this abundantly clear. That you and I must understand that the Word of God has a dual purpose. And these two purposes will impact and affect the lives of everyone who is exposed to God's Word. If you are not exposed to God's Word, then general revelation will be the witness that will be used against you. You cannot say, well, then I'd rather be in that state. But in that state, you only have condemnation. But in this particular state where it is God's Word, the only two, either you are exposed to general revelation, judged by God based upon general revelation, and that revelation cannot save. That revelation can only condemn. And it will be enough to condemn, where no man can excuse themselves from that condemnation. Don't go that way. So therefore, it is important that you are given the Word of God. It is important that you are found in God's house where the Word of God is properly proclaimed. Now, the proclamation of the Word of God is not the problem here. Jesus Christ himself was giving the teaching. He being the perfect teacher, perfect in everything, so the problem is not the preaching. I know in many churches, the problem is the teaching. And because the problem is the teaching, that makes it even far more dangerous. Because when you are in a church where the Word of God is not properly proclaimed, where the gospel is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but another gospel that will not save you, even though you believe sincerely in that wrong gospel, it will not save you. That's how important the Word of God is. So you've got to first make sure in your own heart, in your own life, that you are in a church, that you are exposed to proper preaching and teaching. Otherwise, what Jesus says here concerning the twofold purpose will not apply to you. The twofold purpose is under the assumption that it is actually properly God's truth that has been proclaimed and that which you have heard and received. So that is the first thing you have to bear in mind. Make sure that the issue is not the wrong word. It has to be the proper Word of God that is now given to you. Then you will have to now respond correctly. Because if the word of God is not given to you, whether you respond correctly or wrongly, no use. Sometimes when I have free time, spare time, one of the things I would like to do other than reading is to go to the website of some churches to listen, especially BP churches. I would like to listen to what they put on the website. Of course, sometimes it is because of assignment. Some members of other BP churches, they have heard what was proclaimed on a particular Sunday and they are not sure whether it is right or wrong, whether there is any problem or any issue with it. And so they ask me, can I help out by listening to that sermon and give them an evaluation? But other than these assignments, if I have a little bit of spare time, I will use it to listen to what is out there. And so I try to listen as much as possible, as fair as possible across the board. Across the board means all the speakers in that particular church. Some churches have about four pastors, or one pastor and three assistant pastors, or four, two pastors, two preachers, but they are all the preachers. So I listen to all of them to make sure that there is a feel, a broad understanding of what is being proclaimed in these churches. And very often, to my horror, the word of God proclaimed is not only bad, it is awful. One BP church where the pastor will begin by talking about fiddler on the roof. You know fiddler on the roof? Before your time. I watched this when I was a little boy. It's a very nice musical. It's about a Jewish family living in Russia. And it was describing the Jewish life and how Russia was changing so much. There was civil war and the Jews were being persecuted. And so many of them would have to leave their villages to migrate back home to Israel. It was during that period. And so it talks about a family where this Jewish father has three daughters. And one by one, they're all getting married. And so using this as his basis, not as an illustration to begin his sermon, which sometimes it's okay to do, but he uses this as the foundation for his teaching concerning how to relate to husband and wife, using fiddler on the roof. And then later on, he will sprinkle it with a little bit of Bible verses here and there. And then, of course, he will bring in also psychology. I listen to the other pastors. Very similar, not fiddle on the roof, but the Bible is just sprinkled in there to Christianize a secular message. That's it. I can't imagine what the congregation people are made of, what are in their hearts and in their minds. If this is what they hear Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, what are they eating, spiritually speaking? What occupies their mind? They were not receiving the word of God. What does that mean? Jesus says, my sheep hears my voice. But the pastors were not giving them the word of God. That means it is not the voice of Christ. My fear, my concern was that the congregation might be made up of more goats than sheep. Because the sheep who hears the voice of Christ will hear this Sunday after Sunday, they cannot take it. They will leave because they know that this is not the voice of their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They will pack their bags and they will go. And more of such sheep will leave, and what you have left behind in this kind of churches are only goats. And that's why it is so fearful, so scary. I'm not talking about a church of another denomination. We're talking about our own BP movement, BP churches. You do not believe me. If you have some spare time, you do the same. You just go and listen. Listen for yourself. Now, in this particular consideration for this afternoon, there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. The Word of God is fine. All right, so number one scenario, I don't want to hear God's Word. Gentiles, be very careful. Those who do not have God's word, be careful. General revelation, creation will be used as a judgment against you on the day of judgment. And you'll be without excuse. The other group, make sure that you have the word of God. If you are in churches that do not give you the word of God, you are just as problematic as the Gentiles who do not have the word of God, who only have general revelation. you are now in a situation called delusion. You don't have the Word of God, and so what you are doing is playing Christianity, but not living the life of Christ. Now, within this group, there will be that group that has been given the proper Word of God, where the Word of God is faithfully expounded and proclaimed to you week after week, where the Word of God is taught to you between the Sundays, where you have your fellowships, you have all your other groups, other Bible studies. And if your church is teaching you the proper Word of God, then what we are going to talk about, the two purposes of the Word of God, will apply. Now let's see what Jesus said to the disciples. And then he said to them, now they stayed behind and asked. The multitude who were not interested, they left. After Jesus spoke the parable, they were not interested. They didn't bother. Unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So the first purpose you will find is to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now, mystery here means the revelation of God kept hidden by God until it is time for God to reveal it. And that's what Jesus said to them in greater detail in Matthew 13, which we have read. Many of the Old Testament saints, Old Testament prophets, Old Testament believers, as they look forward to the crucifixion of Christ by faith to save them, they really wanted to hear and to listen to many of the teachings that you are hearing right now as Jesus Christ walk amongst you. And we know what these teachings are because we have the New Testament to reveal to us what Jesus taught them when Jesus Christ was on earth with them. And these disciples recorded them and put them in pen and paper for us to understand. That's the New Testament scriptures. Many of the Old Testament saints wanted to know all these wonderful revelations and teachings, but they were not given. Special revelation is also progressive revelation. God gives to his people the Word of God in bits and pieces throughout a long period of time, more than 1,500 years, from Genesis to Revelation. And so as the Word of God is explained and revealed to them, God said the key purpose that you must understand is the Word of God is given for you to know. Now the word know here is not head knowledge. The word know here is experiential knowledge. The experiential knowledge includes the understanding of a transformed life, whereby your mind is changed, whereby your thinking is completely changed, whereby your motive is no longer motivated by more money, more accolades from men, more rewards of the earth. Now it is constrained only by the love of Christ. The love of God that was shed abroad in your heart is now inside the soul, inside the being of every child of God. And so now you have a new motivation for service, for living, which you never had before. This is what it means by to know the experiential knowledge, which is very crucial. So the Word of God has been given to us to save us by Christ in order to transform us, whereby we become new creatures in Christ. Although we live in the same world, the same old sin-sick world, although we are still in this body of ours, but the people who knew us before our salvation and the people who now see us after salvation, they're going to see a transformation. They're going to see a big difference. Your vocabulary, your language will change. Many of the things you used to do, now you find it so revolting, you don't want to have anything to do with them. You used to go to places that are so sinful and wicked that is equivalent to Sodom and Gomorrah, such as clubbing, all kinds of modern day socializing where all you find is just sex and drinking and drunkenness. Some of these night spots, that's all they're good for. You used to visit such haunts when you were not a believer. After work, when your big boss or some of your colleagues says, let's go for some fun. And you will go without thinking. But after you have known the Lord Jesus Christ, now remember, you cannot separate the person of Jesus Christ with the Word of God, because Jesus Christ is the living Word, and to know the living Word, you need to learn it through the written Word. And so to know the Word of God, to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, is to know Christ. You cannot separate Christ and the Word of God. Please understand this. That means to attack the Word of God is the same as to attack Christ. To say that the Bible has mistakes is as good as saying that Christ is not perfect. You cannot separate the two, please. It is a very, very dangerous thing for you to believe the Bible has mistakes. You cannot diminish anything that God has given to us. The moment you dirty it, the moment you weaken it, the moment you say that it is faulty, you are basically attacking God and His work and His will and His word. Be very careful. This knowledge is not just head knowledge. It's experiential knowledge, whereby your life is lived according to the scriptures. I know that many children, they are very disrespectful to parents. True, children? God never gave us any commandment. Commandment number 11. Parents, remember your children. Love them. No need. Because parents never forget their children, right? No matter how old and mature they have become, even when they become parents, when you are grandparents, you will still remember your children. Whether they are here or whether they are far away, you still remember them. True? You don't have to see them face to face to remember. You've always remembered them. You'll never forget them. Today is supposed to be the anniversary of the missing MH370, right? Many from China, they have flown down to Malaysia, according to the news. And many Malaysians whose loved ones have been lost are remembered. You don't have to tell them to remember their lost loved ones. They will just remember because they have not seen them. They do not know what happened to them. Some of them refuse to believe that they are dead, even after one whole year of nothing. They cannot forget them. But children, God has to say to us, command us, honor your parents. And so, children, before you are born again, you talk loudly to your parents. You talk bad about them behind their backs. You are rude to them. You don't care for them. You take them for granted. Right, children? And you wake up, you do not know, say, good morning, mom, good morning, dad. You do not know. You don't say all these things. You ignore them. And when they tell you certain things, you answer back very roughly. Especially as you grow up to be a teenager. It gets worse as you grow older. But the moment you are born again, this has to stop. Or you may struggle with it because you've been doing it for so long. It takes time for you to get rid of it. But now you realize that whenever you talk rudely to your mom and dad, whenever you raise your voice against your mom and dad, you know that is rude. You know that your Holy Spirit who lives in you after salvation will convict you. That's what it means to know the mysteries, to know the Word of God. The mysteries here would be the Bible, the New Testament, revealed to us. You have it, you obey it in your heart. That is the purpose. The purpose is for obedience. The other purpose, verse 11b, but, that's the other one. But this purpose is contrary to the first. It's not an add-on. It's not the same. It's not in the same direction. It's in the opposite direction. But to them that are without, to them who are not Christian, to them who is not born again in Christ Jesus, the word of God will be to them something else. All these things are done in parables. It will reveal who they are. What are they? Seeing, they may see. Now you know from Matthew chapter 13, this is a quotation from Isaiah's prophecy. So what Jesus Christ did here by deliberately speaking in parables, resulting in two opposite contrasting responses. One, love the word of God, obey the word of God, believe in Jesus Christ, and their lives are completely transformed. On the other hand, they all have seen Jesus Christ, they all have witnessed the miracle, they all have heard the teaching, but the result and the response is the direct opposite. It brought in not transformation and conversion, it resulted in deeper, greater condemnation. Where the Bible says, seeing that they may see, but they don't perceive. They don't understand. Oh, they can see and they can understand. when they witnessed, for example, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and then later on the miracle of the 4,000, or they can see that this man who had been lame all his life can now suddenly walk. This person who has been blind, brought to Jesus Christ, now he can see. Or they can see, they can understand the miracle, but they don't believe in it. They don't accept it. They don't change their lives based upon what they have witnessed and seen. Or they have heard the teaching of Christ. Perfect preaching, perfect message in every way, but they don't understand. They can hear the words. For example, if someone were to be told, who is an unbeliever, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They understand the grammar, they understand the meaning of that verse, but they don't want to believe, they don't want to accept. So the word perceive and the word understand here, whereby God said they do not want it, that means they did not experience it in their lives. The word not perceive, that means they even did not begin to grasp it. That means the word of God did not even begin to transform one tiny aspect of their lives, not one tiny aspect of their thinking, not one tiny aspect of their motivation, not even one tiny aspect of the words, so their words will be just as poisonous, as evil as before. They do not perceive, they will continue not to understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Why did God say this? Why did Jesus say all these things? See, the word of God has the power to transform and to change a person. But the transformation of the power of the word of God in our lives must first be preceded by one very significant and important truth. And that significance and important truth is you have to first accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If you do not, there is no way you can do all the rest of the teaching. You see, the Bible is made up of many doctrines. Right, you have the doctrine of the millennium, you have the doctrine of the Word of God, you have the doctrine of Christ, you have the doctrine of church, you have the doctrine of so many things, right? Doctrine of creation, doctrine of biblical separation, so many doctrines. But before you can understand all the other doctrines, you must first believe in the first doctrine. And the first doctrine that you must believe in, which the book of Hebrews called the first principle doctrine, is the doctrine of salvation. If you are not saved, you are still dead in sin. And the moment you are dead in sin, there is no way you can grasp and understand all the other doctrines, including the doctrine of the church. The doctrine of the church means a person must come to church every Lord's Day. The doctrine of the church means you have to be a member of the church to show your commitment so that you can serve in the church. The doctrine of the church will include getting yourself baptized by water baptism. The doctrine of the church also includes taking the Lord's Supper, which God willing will do later on. The doctrine of the church tells us that we have to learn to give to the Lord. And so, you, without the doctrine of salvation, you try to obey all the other doctrines. God says, impossible. Because if you reject Christ and you do all this doctrine, just by doing all these things, it's not going to bring about salvation inside. The salvation is from inside out, not outside in. So therefore, by merely doing and obeying the external of the word of God, like coming to church, like in the Old Testament time would be keeping all the feasts, the Passover, keeping the Lord's Day holy, follow all the externals. But if you reject Christ, you will not be converted. By doing the externals of the law will not result in conversion. That's what Jesus Christ means here. Because you can hear, you can understand, all right? You can understand, all right? If somebody comes and tell you, come to church every Lord's Day, so you come. You can understand that, right? So you come. Give of your tithe and offering 10%, so you give. Be baptized, you get baptized. Now you understand all these things, but you don't actually perceive, you don't actually understand, because your life is not transformed. By doing all these things externally, if that is good enough, then God will be forced to convert you and forgive you of your sin by just doing the external. God says, I cannot do that. I will not do that. I must not do that because it is not you. It is only the external. Because that's what the multitude has been doing. Following Christ, saying that I'm a disciple of Christ, or external. Why? I want the free food. I want the free miracles. Why are you here in church, by the way? If you're here in church, not for Jesus' sake, not because you are truly born again, then the second purpose applies to you. Because this church, I believe, is trying its best to give you the word of God correctly. You go to the website and you listen. Give you the word of God correctly. And therefore, the two purposes apply. If the word of God has really transformed you, then the first purpose, to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, that Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, died on the cross of Calvary, rose again from the dead on the third day after he was buried for your sin, for your justification. Do you truly believe it with all your heart? And if you have, then the first purpose, the word of God is given to help you know experientially who Jesus Christ is. Otherwise, the second purpose will apply. It will deepen your condemnation. And all you have is just the external. Or you understand from the facade, external point of view. You may hear, but you do not really allow it to be transformed and obeyed into your heart, into your life. How do we know that? You look at what Jesus said in verse 13. And he said unto them in conclusion, know ye not this parable? Now the word know in verse 13a is head knowledge. Do you not understand? Now what was this parable? This parable described for us the four kinds of hearing God's word, right? The first kind, what did it fall into? The wayside. The birds came, the birds said, I'm not interested in God's word. Oh, you are found in church week after week, but when the word of God is proclaimed, I'm not interested. Second kind of ground, stony ground. Persecution comes, you give up the word of God. You don't obey the word of God. You only give word lip service. Yes, I agree. Yes, I agree. Very good sermon, pastor. But that's it. The word of God is not a transformed into your day-to-day life. It's not a transforming your mind and your heart. Or the third kind of hearing. What's the third kind of hearing? The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches take the word of God away from you so that you don't even obey the word of God. It's the same. But only the fourth kind of ground that bring forth fruit, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, transform life. And that's what Jesus meant when he says, know ye not this parable? Don't you understand this parable with your head? How then will you know? Now the word know there in the last part or second part of verse 13 is experiential knowledge, which is the same as the first word know in verse 11. How then can you know experientially the rest of all the parables? And you know all the parables are all about what? The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Now if you do not understand the kingdom of heaven, all the rest of the parables are about your eternal home, who God is, what salvation means. That means a person who hears the word of God, a word of God that is properly proclaimed to him, is now given a choice. It can bring salvation to you, whereby you know Christ experientially, where your life and your heart and your mind is completely transformed. And you know whether the transformation is real in you, or you are just pretending. You can fool us, and you are probably still fooling us today because we can't see your heart. But God sees. And that is one person, God himself, you don't want to fool, because only his decision, his perspective of you, that must matter to you the most, if not the only perspective that must matter to you. Second, if you keep coming to church for all other reasons except Christ, then please understand, the more you listen to the word of God, the harder it will be for you to believe. Because the Spirit of God that continues to speak to your heart through the still small voice, it will become softer and softer as your heart becomes harder and harder when the word of God is proclaimed. It can bring great salvation or it can bring great condemnation. Remember, on this earth, you are exposed to only two kinds of revelation. Creation, good enough only to condemn. The word of God, good enough to condemn and to save. Thank God that you are in this church where the word of God is faithfully taught and proclaimed to you. But now the choice is yours to make. Will it save you or will they condemn you? Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, that we may really understand that our soul destination, is it in hell or in heaven? We thank Thee, Father, for Tabernacle BP Church, that You have raised and sustained and watched over all these years, that it continues to faithfully teach and proclaim the word of everlasting life, which we do not find in so many churches today, including BP churches. And yet, O Lord, we realize that to be found in a church that teaches us the word of God faithfully is not enough. We have to respond according to Holy Scriptures, whereby the knowledge that we have of the word of God, of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, it must not be head knowledge. It must be experiential knowledge where there is a genuine transformation in our heart and in our minds, which will result in a transformed mouth and life. O Lord, may the word of truth bring about genuine transformation in the lives of all You have brought into Your house this afternoon. And we pray, Father, even as we search our own soul before the Lord's table, may Thy Holy Spirit speak to the hearts of everyone, including the youngest one, the children. They may realize and understand that it is never, never too young to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring conviction to their young hearts, O Lord, that they too may experience what it means to know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior experientially. And let it not be head knowledge, but heart knowledge. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. May Thy Holy Spirit continue to whisper peace to our hearts as we come before the Lord's table in a moment's time. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.